becoming something more in Christ. I'm going to go ahead and we've been praying a lot this morning, but I want to go ahead and pray over us again. I ask, Lord, that you would cause a stirring in our hearts concerning what you have for each person here. That wherever there has been a cutting off or a defeat or a work of discouragement that has hindered the forward progress of your child, or any confusion or any work of the adversary that would argue them out of the next level of purpose, we want to come against that in the name of Jesus today. Let's go ahead and praise him just a little bit. Praise you, Lord. So I make my heart available to be more than I am by the working of your Spirit within me, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every place where any person in here has been pushed into a corner and said no further, we reject you. We reject those thought processes, those harassments now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Next slide. Look up here at me with me. Without consulting anybody, God takes a nobody and turns him into a somebody in front of everybody. Is that your testimony? Without consulting anybody. Maybe some of you have heard this before. The Lord quickened this to me. God takes a nobody and turns him into somebody in front of everybody. Let's go to the next slide. He did this with David. Samuel was anointed by the Lord to come secretly to Jesse's house, which is David's father, and to anoint the next king of Israel. And he brought all of his sons. I forget how many were, six or eight. All these young, fine young men. And Samuel said, and the Lord would say to Samuel, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. And the father, this is an amazing little spot here. But the father forgot his son. And there is bruises in the hearts of people where they were overlooked by their family members. And that does not disqualify you for great things that God has. It just doesn't get in the way. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, had I had a better relationship with my earthly dad, I think I'd be a better spiritual father. And he just said right out, I'll make up the difference. He doesn't consider your losses to be a hindrance. He doesn't consider your deficiencies to be the line where he draws, where you stop. He doesn't do that. And David, they said, is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Oh, yeah, David. David's out there. Go get David. The one we forgot about. And he brings him up before Samuel. And the Lord says, that's the one. I'm going to take the nobody. And I'm going to make somebody. I'm not going to consult with anybody. I'm going to do it right here in front of everybody. And he puts his anointing on him. And David goes for the next, 15, 16 years before he actually becomes the king of Israel. But he's anointed for it. Some people are fail because even though they're anointed, they step into a role before they're prepared. And there's a preparation process to become somebody. And we see that in Paul. Next slide. Paul was a guy that thought he was somebody. How many of you know? You can think you're a whole lot of something. And the Lord can't use that. The Lord can't use that when you're full of yourself. And so he takes somebody that thought he was a lot of something. I guess you say he takes the inflated and he deflates them. from what they think they are to bring about the nobody state of heart. In fact, he was, Paul later, this is amazing to me, Paul later said he was the chief of sinners. Basically, I think he said, I'm the king of the nobodies that God took and made a somebody. I don't even know, the Bible doesn't even say they were riding horses, but everybody says he was knocked off his horse, so they always put these pictures with horses. But he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he brought him down to a place of blindness and soul searching and worked in his life and established that he was going to become. You know, Paul was beheaded when he was 42 years old. All that New Testament you got was written by a 30-year-old, somebody in his 30s. Can you believe the depth of revelation that he had? He was called up to heaven. He was a somebody in his own mind. Did you come to the Lord that way? Maybe not. So some, if a deep root of insecurity will cause you to want to become more than you are, really. Anyway, here's the next one. Peter's kind of a different bird that way. Peter was one that started off as a nobody, and he hung around Jesus, and he started thinking he was something more than he was. I remember the Lord, because of the just years of brokenness, I got saved when I was 17 years old, and I did not come into wholeness as a person, was broken and bound. And many of you know the testimony, some of you don't, but I had so many demons messing with my mind. I was very, very, I was broken into with abuse, and foul stuff came into me, rejection, hatred, self-hatred, all kinds of stuff came in. And Heather was there when I started getting some freedom, 10 years into our marriage, ready to call it quits, and then the Lord says, we're going to bring healing to you. I love the Lord. I loved him, but I was bound. I wanted to be more than I was, but I had such a bad belief system. And the Lord wanted to take that out of me. Heather was the brunt of all that, a lot of it. Peter had the same problem. He was like, he was insecure in his heart. He was so insecure that he wanted to rise up and protect Jesus. I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. And then, so he starts off as a nobody. And because he, you know, when Jesus shows up in his life, he does that miracle with the fish in the boat, you know. And then Peter comes up and says, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He knows he's a nobody. But then after he's hanging out with Jesus for a while, he starts to become, you know, the same thing happened with me. It's like the Lord began to anoint me to deal with the adversary in people's lives. And then I remember that day I cast a demon out of somebody, and the devil said, you're really good at that. He was trying to get me to switch teams. To get me full of pride. I'm so glad I didn't go that route. Peter wanted to protect Jesus, and then he got right to that place. It's really quite a study when the different words for curse. But when he cursed himself, I don't have it here today, but he basically annihilated himself with his own words. He became so broken by his own mouth. How many of you have spoken words against yourself that made you so messed up because you decreed under hell's influence on your life and your own brokenness, you say things about yourself that have depleted you of being able to move forward. I know people that have self-imposed word curses in their life. They're self-imposed. One of the big ones I had for years was I would lead worship and then I would get tired. And the devil would tell me, man, you're tired. I say, yeah, I'm tired. You're tired. Yeah, I'm tired. You're exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm fatigued. I'm fatigued. And he would yakety yakety yak. I end up in bed. Man, I'm just so tired. I can't get out of bed. I lay in bed. Man, am I tired. Heather would say, stop saying that. Quit saying that. She'd start, stop saying you're tired. Stop saying, you can't say. And I would say it. About 2 years of this goes by, and the Holy Spirit says, let me show you what's going on here. He takes me over to Isaiah 61 and says, you put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And then he said, Roger, you help the body of Christ put on a garment of praise. Which demon do you think would be stalking you? And the lights went on. And I said, the spirit of heaviness had me parroting, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm exhausted. And that would come on me, self-imposed. When Peter spoke, he had this self-imposed word curse. It was so great that he belittled himself in such a great way, a horrible way, that he didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. He just put an end to it. Jesus actually had to come to him and begin breaking the power of that curse off of his life. He was a nobody that became a somebody, and then he got so full of himself. You know, Jesus explained, you're going to be sifted. And this work of, you know, the adversary against him caused him to come to a place of, I'm really not all that. He came back to the place of being a real, genuine nobody. Can I tell you my happiest moments in life are when I know I don't deserve anything and I just look at everything and realize how blessed I am. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve any of it. And the more I embrace that, the happier I become. The more thankfulness pours out of me. I have been doing, I don't know if it's just your age, you're growing up, but that things change like that. Anyway, so God takes these men of God through a process of taking someone who's nobody to make them into a somebody. Let's go to the next slide. So where are you in the process? This year, where does God have you? The more you realize that you're an undeserving nobody, the more grateful you become. I must have written that down already. And the more grateful you become when you realize that Jesus has made you a somebody to him. How many of you are happy just being something of the Lord, of who the Lord is? And if this comes up, it'll be great. It's doing the same thing it did, you know, last week. I got up here and it said I didn't have any battery. When I got home, it said it was full. So maybe the Lord's just wanting me to set this down. I'm going to do that. I have some good thoughts in there. Let's go to the next slide. Proverbs 25, 4 through 5 says this, take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. So the Lord wants to take something out. How do you get this dross to rise? In the Bible, dross is a mass of solid impurities that floats on molten metal and has no value. You and I have stuff in us that's of no value to the King of Glory. And sometimes we're put in a heated place to get this stuff to rise up. This is used figuratively to describe what is base or worthless. So dross is that worthless stuff in us that we don't need. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord does this for us. Let's go ahead. Next slide. I've been reading the Passion Translation quite a bit recently. And Galatians 2:20, this is how Paul describes this whole getting rid of the dross stuff. He says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. How many of you have found that? Look, sometimes it's just age and a longing to your desire to be what the Lord wants you to be. But I've I've found out more and more recently that the life that I want to live is really the life of Jesus in my life, just Jesus in me. If I don't have that sense of assurance, I don't want to go on. And how many of you have things that show up and you just need the Lord's assurance? This is what we go through, right? Next slide. So here, now, this is kind of some of the process that we want to walk in. God will never be mocked. Still the Passion Translation. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, would you everybody just say, the good seeds of spirit life, okay. You will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Next slide. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the seeds of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Next slide. Good seeds, what are they? Good seeds have to do with prayerful communion with the Lord is a good seed. How many of you are just really task-driven? Don't raise your hands. How many are more relational-driven? It's task-driven is great. People get things done. People that are relational-driven, they need to do more tasks. People that are task-driven, they need more relationships. Isn't that true? Balance. But here's the deal. You can't run and run and run without the relationship with Jesus being vitally alive inside. A good seed is, how many of you get burned out and you realize, I just need to spend time with the Lord? Is there anybody? The reason I'm bringing this up is this, that God wants to take what you haven't become yet. This is becoming something more. The Lord wants to help you foster a new sense of vitality in your soul, in your life, in relationship with Him. It's so easy to be distracted these days, but if we make Him a priority in the morning or whatever your hot time is where you can have the best focus, having time with Him, mine's in the morning, prayerful communion with God. Here's another thing. I've been around for a while. And learning His Word is still important. It's still important. I don't know enough yet. And there are promises that He breathes and there's things that He quickens that make life work and make it vital. Everybody needs that. Speaking wise words. I'm ministering to my brother's sister's sister's son. My brother's wife's sister's son. He's been in the military 20 years. He's 39 years old. I get this text. He's reaching out to me. This just happened a couple of days ago. He's a military. He's been in the military 20 years. Soldier. I guess the Army. He can't talk without cussing. It's impossible for him to say a sentence without some curse word showing up in his mouth. A few days ago, my brother led him to Jesus. He came to know the Lord. He's a musician. He plays guitar, bass, drums, piano, violin, and he can sing his heart out. And so Tommy gave him my number because he could relate to me as a musician. I get on the phone with him, and I think he's drunk. They're just him and his other friend are singing. You know that song, Three Crosses? And they're singing, that's a country song. They're singing away. He's not even listening to me. I'm on the phone. But anyway, I started praying, and the Lord put, I think it's like a sense of assignment. So I came, I started shooting him some of my own. I have songs on YouTube, so I can send them in a text, you know, and have him listen to them. And then I sent him some of the pages that I write in the bulletin. And something clicked. He just began to realize, I don't know if you knew, last week it had to do with a note to the despondent. It really spoke purely to him. He was, this is amazing. Then the one this week about becoming somebody. I'm just saying this, that the life we're living in the Spirit is treasure to those who are broken. He's had so many. Two guys lost. Two soldiers that are really close to him died in Afghanistan, and he's about to be deployed again in a month. And he says, "I'm just lost. I'm just lost. I don't know what's going on." And Jesus touched him to reach out to my brother. Then my brother passed him over to me. And something, he texted me this morning. He says, "You have saved my life. We broke the power of a demon over him." He doesn't know it. I commanded something to leave. The Lord quickened me, and I commanded it to leave him. And the Lord loves people. And something of that agitation lifted from his soul. Let's just go ahead and praise the Lord. The Lord loves people everywhere. You just got to, when you know, just the Lord is even affirming how powerful this release is because of his presence showing up, just giving you the testimony. The Lord loves people so much that he wants to deliver them and release them. And now he's going to become a disciple of Jesus. He said, "I told my dad," he said, "the Thrower brothers saved me." My brother got him saved and started put the word in him. He says, "I got a preacher too." And that's by the preacher. But, you know, so anyway, we're relating. So speaking wise words. Oh, this is, let me just tell you the fun part here. Here, after hearing it, he says, every time he cussed, he would say, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And I said, "You know, for me, I grew up around, if you know who my mother was," I said, "you know what her favorite verse in the Bible was?" He goes, "No, what?" And I said, "It was, I think it's 4:30, Ephesians, I think it's 4:32, somewhere around, could be 5. But anyway, it's, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only to that which is to the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace to the hearers." And he went, "Oh my God." He really reacted to that. I said, so for me, you know, hearing all this stuff, I said, then I told him, I said, "I have a really good friend, you know, Chris." This is 80-year-old retired Navy chief. I said, "Your cussing is nothing compared to what he used to do." So, you know, you win into a guy's heart because he's precious. He doesn't know. Everybody in here has had the same struggle. You do not know the level of which God, Father God, cherishes you. You don't understand the deep, deep adoring that he has for your life. He cherishes you and adores you so, so much, but you don't know it. Because you have a belief system that has hindered you from receiving that. You're saying, "That's not for me." You just still feel like you're on the outside. And the Lord, and every time somebody tells me, "Oh, you've done such a blessing. You've helped me so much." I go, "Look, I'm just a beggar showing another beggar where the table is. It's just what we do. We just help people get to the bread of life," right? Seeds of speaking wise words, giving, loving, dropping seeds of love and truth every day into our new life in Christ. Go ahead. Next slide. Nobody who God has made of somebody can perceive another nobody who God has made of somebody. Have you noticed that? How many of you have been just walking with the Lord and come upon another person, you go, "They feel like a believer to me"? There's that spiritual sensitivity. Paul walks into a group of men. He says, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace given to me, they gave me the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me." He could, when you walk with the Lord and you go through the removing of the dross and you get around other people, this is the beautiful thing about it. You end up desiring to be in fellowship of people who have no ego. There's no ego. Ego is short for edging God out. You don't have this ego thing. You don't have these battles. In fact, when you're around a bunch of mature men and women of God, they don't care who runs the meeting. They just want the person who's anointed of the Lord in that moment to do it. They just care about the deep passion for what Jesus wants to accomplish. They want to hear, if it's the Lord saying it, we want to all hear it and do what the Lord says. You go, because they function out of the witness of the Spirit. And God has desires. How many of you say, "I think the Lord's speaking to me," and you get around somebody else and they confirm it? That's what we're about. We're about the body of Christ who hears the voice of the Lord and confirms and can perceive. Let's go to the next slide. Has something, now here's my little questions for you, because we're coming up upon receiving communion here just in a minute. Has something radical happened in your life because of Jesus Christ? Just think about it for a minute. Have you had some powerful, radical moments where Jesus has done some just tremendous things? Would you think of that for a minute? Bring that to your mind for just a moment. Things where he maybe rescued you, healed you, intercepted you, caused you to hear something. Maybe just like this next line, has your encounter with him transformed your viewpoint of your life's purpose? Mine is often like this. I felt like the Lord said, you know, Roger, you don't really have very many good plans for your life, but I do. And the rest of my life has been me chasing God and Heather chasing me and us figuring it out together. How many of you feel that, aren't you glad you've pursued Jesus? Does he matter more to you than anything else? I think this really boils down to defining relationships. When you're around people who Jesus is everything, it makes life really, really nice. Because you can count on that person turning to the Lord. Isn't that right? How many of you know plenty of the others? Something else has snared them. Something else has their attention. Something else drains them. Something else. You never become more in Christ with something else always being there. Do you maintain a fire in your heart for being with him and fulfilling his purpose for your life? This is really, really key, because when you're going down the road, was it? I heard somebody recently say, if you want everybody to like you, sell ice cream. Because when you're walking with the Lord, you're going to have persecution, you're going to have all kinds of trials, you're going to have warfare, all that stuff is going to show up. So you want to know who you're walking with, right? You want to know people who bring you before the Lord, deal with the stuff, you know. This next slide. So this is the kind of person that this is another Passion Translation thing, and this is Paul. If you can see it, I'm going to read it. It says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. But I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. Before I go on, is there somebody else that says, I'm pursuing what Jesus has laid hold of me for? I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. My own strength to do anything runs out about 5 minutes after I woke up. It just doesn't pull it off. I actually need an empowerment of the Holy Spirit to cause me to complete and do the things that God has called me to do. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. It was not too long ago that it dawned on me that the judgment seat of Christ could be the greatest day of your life. We don't think that way. We think, oh boy, but could you imagine standing in front of Jesus? Not the great white throne judgment when there are people who are being judged and cast into eternal darkness because they've rejected Jesus, but for those who followed him. Could you imagine standing up before him and him looking at you in the eyes and smiling, and you know you did everything he asked you to do, and you did so poorly at it, but he carried you through it because you kept saying yes. And he's so grateful for your choices of putting him first in everything. Can we have build a little fire inside for just a moment and say, I want to live that life, Jesus. I want to live that life. burn out everything in me of dross, change me deep on the inside, cause my love and passion for you to grow like never before in this year. Let there come an increased intensity of my love and passion for you as I respond to your love and passion for me. I want you to know you, Jesus. I want to walk with you. Let's go ahead and praise him together just for a minute. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Next slide. Robert Browning has this little statement that he says, has anybody heard this before? All but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? Every single thing that will fulfill you is in the presence of Jesus in heaven. And I believe the Lord says, why wait? Why don't you go ahead and stretch yourself to lay hold of me now in your life purpose, in everything about you? Go to the next slide. A nobody who Christ has made a somebody to him does maintain a passionate pursuit of Jesus. You can't talk me out of walking with Jesus because I know too much. Can we go ahead and take our communion here? We're going to make the little end up front on the top because you don't want to open up the liquid first and then have the bread. These are so cute. Take out the little portion of bread. You can take that off now. Can remove the screen. Here you go. Wow. Okay. It's really extraordinary that the opening thought process in Corinthians concerning communion is this phrase: on the night he was betrayed. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. I felt like the Lord is saying to me, the Lord's going to work a deliverance. A release from betrayal, how you are actually betraying your own walk. The Lord wants to release you from betraying. You have an idol in your mind of what it looks like to walk with Jesus. And it's just brokenness. It's just opening up your heart and not trying to be some Pharisee, some know-it-all. I feel like the words I'm speaking are releasing a humility in the room. Go ahead and humble your heart. Jesus did not rise up and try to talk Judas out of it. Let me say this too. The devil is not all powerful at all. In fact, he can't just come in. He has to have you open a door. Jesus actually requires you to open a door for him to come in. Betrayal is where you keep opening a door, allowing the adversary in some place of your life. Would you like to be released from that? On the night he was betrayed, on that morning, that Sunday morning where I realized that I would open a door to the adversary and betray myself in my walk with Jesus, Jesus came and said, honey, let me come in and do something inside of you that shifts your heart out of a negative perception of yourself into the loving grace I have for you. Would you lift it up? Say, Jesus, I repent for everything in me that has accommodated betrayal against my own heart and betrayal against you. I'm sick and tired of this low-level thinking and life. Now listen, we're just praying right here, but the Holy Spirit is moving, so go ahead and just say, thank you, Lord, because he's taking, just let him take it out. Let him take it out. His life takes out what you broke and puts in wholeness. He lifts up the weary hands that hang down. He's coming to some of you right now. He's lifting your chin and say, you're not going to walk under depression of being a betrayal to yourself anymore. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. You're not going to do this. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're beloved by him, and he cherishes you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some physical healings that are going to release because of this. Some of this is tied to a spirit of infirmity that you betrayed yourself. I'm just speaking by the Spirit. I have never been down this thought process before. I've never been down this one before, but the Lord is saying there are some that have, in their own weakness of the flesh, you have betrayed your own spiritual life. And the Lord says, I want to come and rescue you out of. Man, let's just let the Lord work on you. Let him work in you. Some of you just pray in the Spirit here. Just take a moment. This is holy ground. Hallelujah. There is a term in the Genesis when he creates man, he says to take dominion, and he says the word subdue. The word subdue. And the word subdue is kalbash. And I guess we get our word kabosh from that word. This is what I want to say. The Holy Spirit right now is going to put a kabosh on the negative work of betrayal against your own soul. He's going to subdue it and break its power over your life. Let's go ahead and praise you for that. Because Jesus took all of the betrayal to him with himself to the cross and broke its power. It doesn't have power anymore. Whew. The devil's a liar, and he has no power in those words in your mind that harass you. None. Let somebody praise the Lord with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your self-perspective that has not been his thoughts about you are leaving. Some of you, this is a shift day. You're not going to live this begrudging life where you feel like you're always shooting yourself in the foot because of something you did wrong years ago, or the way you were spoken to, or the self-imposed curses you got. The Lord's going to clean your mouth out and clean you, give you wisdom to speak with, and you will not live a life of betrayal against your own spiritual life. Let's praise the Lord one more time. We're going to partake this, but this, we're just getting this out. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Father, forgive me for whatever's in me that has betrayed my life with Jesus Christ. It's been a curse to me, and I hate it. And cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And this bread in my hand is a picture of Jesus having absorbed the curse and breaking its power over my life. And I receive the freedom it gives now in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, just come by your Spirit. Just sweep through, we pray, in Jesus' name. Sweep through. Lord, we thank you for the power to renew the spirit of our mind, the transforming of our hearts and mindsets. In Jesus' name. There, Karen, I'm going to tell you, Karen, from the Lord, okay? You've done enough. It's not on you. The burden's the Lord's now. You just rejoice in Him, okay? It's not on you. Let that word go in you, because that's liberty. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up the cup. Open it up. The blood of the Lamb. We overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. As it goes, deliverance is in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord isn't one. There's others, you know, one word from one person spreads. There's others that feel like they've had to carry something. For a long time, I thought that there were certain things that I just had to deal with in me. And the Lord said, how come you've drawn this line of where you don't think my mercy gets down in there? And I went, what? His mercy goes to the core of who you are. His mercy touches the depths of who you are. This is the most amazing cup on the planet. Jesus is the source of all forgiveness in the entire world. Everybody else is borrowing off of Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives us forgiveness. I used to carry a lot of thoughts about my failures in my mind. Like I was, you know, never this, never that. Always just never measuring up. Carry that stuff. And Jesus, you go up to Jesus, see, and you say, you know, you want to talk to him about it. And he doesn't remember it. You know what this cup is? For some reason, it's called selective amnesia. Because Father God and Jesus are in heaven, and they're chatting about how wonderful you are to them, and they just love you so much, and oh, if you could just grab a hold of the love they have, oh my God. And they never bring up a negative thought because of the blood. What if you could do the same? What if you could never bring up another negative? You know, Jesus never said one negative thing about himself. You want to really become like Jesus? Never say a negative thing about yourself ever again. Or anyone else. This is the power. This is the cup. Amen? Just say, I'll drink to that. Lord, take my tongue and make it a fountain of blessing. Make it a fountain of blessing, a fountain of forgiveness, a fountain of goodness. Don't let me be shaped by this mangled up world. Let me be shaped by the heart of heaven for me. You commit to that? Say, unto deliverance, unto freedom, unto complete healing, I receive the blood of the Lamb and overcome by it. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We're establishing, I felt like the Lord is saying, I want you to do this, what you did this morning, here you go, because we're launching 2025. We're going to need to pray, you know, for our nation more than ever, but I want to say something regarding all this. I'm not a Todd said it so eloquently and beautifully last week, how he said some people make an idol of Trump, you know, and I don't do that, but here's what I do know. A lot of prayers got answered. The popular vote, the electoral vote, people rose up and broke a curse of witchcraft and set in motion the spirit of restoration. It's the spirit of God. It's not Trump. I know what it's like to ride the blessing of the Lord. I'm not doing anything. He ain't doing anything. It's the blessing of the Lord. So we want to pray for the blessing of the Lord to continue and to grow and to grow and to grow and expose the things that are anti-Christ. And the prayer has been, bring him to Jesus or remove him. That's a good prayer. Because we've been under when the wicked rule, everybody's moaning. We've been moaning a long time. But now, and it's not that it's not ever about a person, it's about the person. The person who has plans. And we want to exalt Jesus more than ever and never have the attitude of told you so or, you know, that kind of the immature junk. Have a heart of wisdom and pursue the Lord. I feel like the Lord, even today, some of you are going to have a greater sense of authority to prophetically speak blessing into people's lives. Be sensitive to the Lord using your mouth to release life and freedom and blessing to those around you. I feel like today he's untangled a snare where you betrayed yourself. Let there come a fullness of the Lord's love and life manifesting through you. Amen. Let's stand together. Say, I love you, Lord. Just go ahead and tell him, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We need you. And we praise you, Lord, for the strength of your spirit in us. We praise you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's power in us. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Love on each other. See you next week.